God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember the day on 9/11. Where were you on that day?
Wow.
What were you doing when you heard that news? I remember I was sitting in a classroom, I was in college, and someone was on their cell phone, and he said the Twin Towers just was attacked by an airplane. And I thought, no, that doesn't make any sense. There's no way that could happen. And the people start getting up and start leaving, and I said, I guess, and he said the class were dismissed, we were allowed to go home. I got out of the classroom, I'm walking around the hallway, and I see the news on the TV, and I was just in shock, like all of us, I'm sure. How is this happening? I remember everyone was cramming into the trolleys. People were banging on the trolleys as it was not enough space for more people to get in. And I went on the trolley, and I came home, and I looked onto the news. So where were you? What were you thinking when that happened? Such a great tragedy. When you think about it, 3,000 people lost their lives on that day because of a terrorist attack. And I want to share with you something that you may have never heard about that happened on that day as well. A miracle. We just heard in the gospel about a man born blind, and our Lord gave him sight. And I want to share with you a miracle that happened on 9/11. So I want to make sure all the details are accurate, so I'm going to read this miracle. So the South Tower was the first to collapse at 9:59 a.m., followed by the North Tower at 10:28 a.m. Very few people survived the collapse of the towers, but a group of emergency personnel and one civilian did survive with each other's help. When the South Tower collapsed, a group of firefighters and one police officer were still inside the North Tower. This group included David Lim, a Port Authority officer, Captain John J. Jones, and a chief from Ladder Firefighter, Bill Butler, Firefighter Sal, and Firefighter Matt, and a battalion chief, Richard. When the South Tower collapsed, they were ordered to evacuate and begin to make their descent down stairwell B. When they reached the 22nd floor, the firefighters from Ladder 6 found a distraught woman named Josephine Harris, who was a bookkeeper for the Port Authority. She was exhausted and could not move on her own due to an injured leg. The firefighters decided to take Harris with them, carried her down the building. There are many memorials dedicated to 9/11 victims, including the reflecting pools in New York City. At 10:28, the group started hearing a rumble as they walked down stairway B. Miraculously, the 12 firefighters and one officer, along with Harris, all survived the collapse as they were tucked away in stairway B, a staircase at the center of the building's core. How the group survived the collapse is still somewhat of a mystery. The stairwell seemed to provide protection to the survivors. The tower came down like a peeling banana, and it peeled all around us, Jonas said. All 14 of the survivors in the stairwell escaped the North Tower ruins with no life-threatening injuries. The firefighters that were with Harris have described her as their guardian angel. So just imagine, these firefighters, you know, they're on their mission, they're directed to evacuate, and they see this woman who has an injured leg. She can't move. They had the choice of carrying her or just abandoning her. But because they carried her down the stairway, because they carried her, it slowed them down to be in the stairway B. And that was the only place that was safe. So it did an act of mercy, and God protected all of them, right? It's a miracle that they survived, and they acknowledge it as a miracle.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So what our Lord reveals to us is that He is the only one that can work a miracle. We can never be confused or misunderstand a miracle. When God works miracles, we know that God alone can do that. Amen?
Amen.
So in this gospel, we hear about this man that's born blind. He's born blind not because his parents sinned, not because he was a sinner, but because it was just a way of God revealing a miracle that would glorify God and come help us to come to have faith in Christ. So this man had faith, just as David had faith. We hear about the prophet Samuel. He said, man looks at appearances. The Lord looks into the heart. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord can look into the soul of anyone, and he can see the potential of what is their faith.
Amen.
We may think, well, this person, you know, they don't have any faith. That person doesn't have any faith. I don't think they really have love for our Lord. But only the Lord knows what's in the heart of each of us.
Amen.
And only the Lord can judge accurately who has that living faith, who has that love for him. Because we all only can judge by appearances, but the Lord can see into the soul. The Holy Spirit can see within our soul. And so the Holy Spirit chose David out of all his brothers. The last became first. He was overlooked by his father, by Samuel. He was the least, just a shepherd boy, simple. Nothing extraordinary about David. But our Lord rejects all his brothers and only chose him.
Yeah.
And our Lord chose this blind man to work a miracle.
Yeah.
Our Lord chose him. He cried out to our Lord. For him to cry out to our Lord, asking for mercy is a sign of faith. And then our Lord says, okay, what do you want me to do for you? He doesn't assume that he wants this miracle of healing in his eyes. And he says he wants to see.
Amen.
And so what our Lord does, he takes clay and he spits in the clay. He makes that clay into with his saliva and he puts it on his eyes.
Right.
He smears that on his eyes and he says, go to the river, the pool, Siloam, which means to be sent. And only after he washed his eyes, then he could see.
Amen.
So this reveals to us that the God who created us is the God who heals us. Amen?
Amen.
It has to be the same God. So Jesus says, okay, the Word was created. God spoke, let there be light. And out of nothing, light came. God created something out of nothing. I don't understand this. We don't understand this. But this is what happened. Out of nothing, God created. By speaking, he created. And so the Word of God in the person of Christ, he spoke to this blind man. He told him what to do. He obeyed having faith. He did what he said. And because he followed through, the miracle happened. And he was able to see. He healed him of his blindness.
Amen.
But not only of his physical blindness, but about his blindness about who Jesus is.
Right.
So the Pharisees, they're confused. They don't believe our Lord is the Messiah. They are blinded by their pride. They know the Torah, but they don't know God. They are very educated, but they don't have a living faith in God. So they reject God in the person of Christ. Every one of us can fall into that same trap where we say, I put God in a box. This is where I find God. When I say only these prayers, when I only do these acts of piety. But the Lord can reveal himself at any time and any day and draw us closer to himself, only if we have eyes of faith to see.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Because the Lord is not dead, he is risen. But the Pharisees, didn't see as God as living in their presence. They saw God as distant, always somehow only in the Torah that they read, but they didn't see God in everyday life. They put God in a box. They said, this is what God can or can't do. But our Lord broke through their boxes, their categories of what God can or can't do and when he's going to show miracles to whom. They said, no, this man is born blind. God is not going to work a miracle for him. So first, they didn't think he was blind. Then people started to come up and say, no, this is the man that was begging that was blind. So they verified it. Then the parents came in and they said, yes, this is our son. They bear witness that the son is theirs. He was born blind. So they got the evidence. Now it's clear. This is the same man that was begging that was blind. He was definitely born blind. But then when they questioned him, okay, well, how did this happen? The man named Jesus. So first, the blind man doesn't understand who Jesus is. He said, the man named Jesus. Yeah. Then Jesus wasn't there. Then he said, okay, this Jesus is the one who worked the miracle. You don't know where he came from. The Pharisees said, we know we are disciples of Moses. We know who God is. God spoke to Moses. We don't know about this man. But then they say, well, what did he do? How did he heal you? They can't get over the fact that Jesus worked this miracle. One of the obstacles to their faith was this. Jesus worked this miracle on the Sabbath. So for someone to use clay on the Sabbath is considered a sin. It goes against the Torah. So when they hear about Jesus used clay, they say, okay, he broke the commandment. So they're very legalistic. They think, okay, he broke the commandment where you can't make clay on the Sabbath. It's considered work that is going against God's going to Sabbath. So they say, okay, on that point, then he's a sinner. And therefore, because he's a sinner, he's not the Messiah. So they reject Christ. But they don't understand that the miracle happens. They can't go against the miracle. Everyone sees the miracle. The parents, the Jews, the crowd. So there's this division between the Pharisees. Half of them are saying, well, something must have happened that Jesus did, because he was definitely blind and now he sees. Yeah. And how can God listen to a sinner? So they didn't understand. So there was an argument, but they didn't fully consent to have faith in Christ. So once Jesus came back, he disappeared, he came back. And he came back, and Jesus reveals himself that he is the Messiah. I am. This is what God spoke in the burning bush. Moses said, who are you, right, to say to the Jews, I am who am. Meaning, God is saying he is the source of life. So Jesus reveals I am. Right? He says, I am the one, the Messiah. And so then the blind man worships Jesus. Now he is full circle. See, the first step was the miracle. But then the second step was the interrogation, and he started to profess his faith in Christ. He said, okay, it's the man Jesus. Then he professes that he is God. Each step was necessary for his conversion. And every one of us had to follow each step in order to be baptized. And that's what's going to happen on the Easter Vigil, right? Easter Vigil is when baptisms happen. If someone is older than an infant, right, over than 7 years old. But also, for anyone who's coming into the church, the Easter Vigil is that time. And so I have here Clarissa Walker, who's sitting in the front pew right here, and she is a candidate to come into the Catholic faith. And our granddaughter, amen. And we have our granddaughter here, Serena. And so Clarissa and Serena have been coming to the rectory, and I've been able to catechize them about the gift of our Catholic faith. And they've been faithful in coming, you know, to learn about the Catholic faith. And I've had also Joanne Savoy helping me as a catechist to catechize them both together. And they've been learning each step about the gift of our faith. You know, our Lord is present in the Most Holy Eucharist. And so Clarissa has already been baptized. She's a sister in Christ. But she's coming here forward to come into the fullness of our faith, to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, to be able to go to confession, and so that her eyes of faith may see our Lord in his fullness of seven sacraments instead of only one sacrament. And so such a great grace, I've been honored to be able to catechize them and see them growing in their faith, coming to Mass on Sundays, listening to the Word, hearing our gospel sing, and they feel so welcome by all of us. So as a witness to all of you as a church family, that they feel welcome and see the faith that's living here in our church family of St. Martin de Porres Parish.
Amen.
So I invite Clarissa to come forward. Serena, you can come forward too. Serena is not going to be able to come into the faith this Easter Vigil, but she's going to be coming into the faith the next Easter Vigil because the two period is for her. What is your name?
Clarissa Walker.
Clarissa Walker, you have come forward to receive Christian initiation.
Present.
What do you ask of God's church?
Reception to the full communion as a Catholic church.
Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth unto a living hope, a hope which draws its life from Christ's resurrection from the dead. By baptism into Christ Jesus, this hope of glory became your own. Christ opened for you the way of the gospel that leads to eternal life. Now under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you desire to continue that journey of faith. Are you prepared to reflect more deeply on the mystery of your baptism, to listen with us to the apostles' instruction, to join with us in a life of prayer and service?
I am.
Sponsor, you now present these candidates to us. Are you and all who are gathered with us ready to help these candidates complete their Christian initiation, prepare for reception to full communion of the Catholic Church?
I am.
Father of mercy, we thank you for these, your servants. You have already consecrated them in baptism, and now you call them to the fullness of the church's sacramental life. We praise you, Lord, and we bless you. We praise you, Lord, and we bless you. Dear candidate, you have expressed your desire to share fully in the life of the Catholic Church. I now mark you with the sign of Christ's cross and call upon your catechist and sponsor to do the same. Receive the cross on your forehead as a reminder of your baptism into Christ's saving death and resurrection. Receive the sign of the cross on your ears that you may hear the voice of the Lord. Receive the sign of the cross on your eyes that you see the glory of God. Receive the sign of the cross on your lips that you may respond to the word of God. Receive the sign of the cross over your heart that Christ may dwell there by faith. Receive the sign of the cross on your shoulders that you may bear the gentle yoke of Christ. Receive the sign of the cross on your hands that Christ may be known in the work which you do. And receive the sign of the cross on your foot that you may walk in the way of Christ. I sign you with the sign of eternal life in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the cross and resurrection of your Son, you have given life to your people. In baptism, these your servants accepted the sign of the cross. Make them living proof of his saving power and help them to persevere in the footsteps of Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go back to your seat now.